Hey there, this is Mobile Agent TV, helping agents stay on the cutting edge from coast to coast.
Welcome to Mobile Agent TV. I am Michael Thorne of Remax Little Oak Realty in Langley, BC, and my co-host Dave Faulkner is away on his annual Christmas in July vacation with his family. One of the great things I really, really admire about Dave is he's got a successful, amazing business, and he has great balance, and he's got his priorities in check. So Dave won't be with us today, but he'll be back next week. During the broadcast, you can interact with us using the hashtag MATVLive, as well as you can get us on Twitter at MobileAgentTV, and you can also use the Q&A feature here in Google Plus. If you're watching it on Google Plus or you're watching it on the blog, you can go ahead and interact with the show. Now, I got a couple text messages just before we went on the air. We're a couple minutes late getting on the air, Andrew, but a couple people saying that the MobileAgentTV.com website was down. It is back up now, so we're all good to go. There's a lot of people that are going to watch on our Google Plus page on YouTube, but majority of the people do watch it on MobileAgentTV.com. If you are on MobileAgentTV.com, on the right-hand side, you can sign up for our newsletter. We just keep you updated with our shows. We send you out a video a couple days before the show, let you know who our guest is and what our topic is about, so you can definitely go there and sign up for the Mobile Agent TV video newsletter. Just want to really give a huge big thank you to Terry Conrad, an awesome friend of the show. Most of your viewers are familiar with her. She's launched a new project called Conversations That Matter, along with another project, Agent Quest. And we talked about it at the end of last show from Inman Connect, but their audio was rough and it was sort of tough to hear. But she's got a new podcast, video podcast and audio podcast called Conversations That Matter, and it's a lot different than the other conversations and the other podcasts that are out there. Terry's going a lot deeper with some people that are familiar with in the real estate industry, and it's an amazing program, and I think it has a ton of value. I was honored to be the very first guest. Terry was our very first guest on Mobile Agent TV. And it goes a little bit deeper. It goes a little bit below the surface. It gets real, and it gets serious, and it is fantastic. You can go to agentquest.ca, and you can click on the Conversations That Matter tab, and you can watch the episode. And it's released every Sunday. And this Sunday's guest is one of our very favorite guests of all time, is Valerie Garcia. So it's going to get a little bit deeper, a little bit more real. So I encourage you all to go and check out that program. Today's guest is Andrew Foliato. He is the, I won't even say that. You can get him on Twitter at Andrew Foliato. Now I have to spell it, F-O-G-L-I-A-T-O. And his 160 Twitter bio reads, the G is silent. That's the first thing he has in his Twitter bio, is how to pronounce his last name. He is a training specialist with RE/MAX Integra covering Ontario Atlantic Canada region. He loves the Raptors basketball. He loves the Raptors and basketball. I'm the Bengals fan in Canada. Wow, that's a rough go, Andrew. The Bengals.
There had to be one of us.
You might be the only one. Thank you for coming on the show, Andrew. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
Why don't we give our viewers, perhaps that aren't in Ontario Atlantic, and a lot of those agents out that way are definitely very, very familiar with you. Just give our viewers a little bit about your history in the real estate space and your current role with RE/MAX Ontario Atlantic.
So that's actually before I was even, so I did sales for a few years. Before that, I was actually in construction, so I was doing a lot of concrete forming, so we built condos and things like that. So I was on that side of real estate for a little while, and then after a while, I decided to get into real estate, and I was thinking maybe I'll go into real estate part-time. And then I met with a RE/MAX broker in Aurora, which is where I was selling, and he's like, yeah, we're not hiring anyone who does part-time. If you want to do part-time, this isn't the place for you. And the more I looked into it, the more I realized I do want to go full-time. So I quit my job, which was a family business, so I was working with my dad and my brother. And yeah, so I got into real estate selling, so I was with RE/MAX York Group. Then for about a year and a half, I was with them. And then they got bought out by RE/MAX Hallmark, and so I was with RE/MAX Hallmark for the last 6 months or so before I took this job here, where now I'm traveling Ontario, Atlantic Canada, and training, although a bit in the States too. So I'm going to Minnesota in October. It's going to be pretty fun.
At least it's October and it's not February. Andrew, we wanted to have you come on the show and talk Evernote. We touched on Evernote numerous times throughout the last year and a half of this show. When we talk about paperless, we've mentioned a lot of times as sort of an application that I think has a ton of value for real estate agents, especially to keep them mobile and organized. But you go around now training agents on leveraging Evernote. So just for the people that might not be using it right now or maybe have downloaded, I think the biggest thing I always hear about, I downloaded it, but I don't really know how to use it. Give us the overview of how you see Evernote being advantageous for agents.
So I do an Evernote 101 course. The first thing I say is it's basically like taking your filing cabinet, making it digital, and then having it available anywhere you are. So anything you've ever put in your filing cabinet, you have available at your fingertips from your iPad, your iPhone, anything you want. And that's huge. Like imagine just all your client files, no matter where you are, you can pull them up at an instant. And there's so many different things you can do. Anything you've ever done on paper, you can now just put into Evernote really simply. The problem that I find that a lot of people may have is they open it up and it's just like a blank canvas. Like you don't see anything you can do with it. You're not really sure. And you got to almost see someone else, what they're doing with it, to really start to understand how you can use it. And that's a big one I find is when I do the training on it is people have it. They don't really know what to do. They're just, you know, emailing themselves some notes into it here and there. They think it's just for note taking. And then when you finally see someone, how they're actually using it in their business, because I was completely paperless and it was almost entirely because of Evernote. The only reason I wasn't completely paperless because we're not allowed in Ontario to sign documents yet. But yeah, that's huge for that.
And one of the big things you wanted to mention, and I think it's important too as well, because we use the word app a lot. I mean, even in preparing for the show, Andrew, I use the word app quite a bit. But that's sort of misleading because it's just really, any device that has the ability to access the internet, that's where your Evernote can be. I mean, it's everywhere. So just talk about sort of the multi-platform, the ways you can leverage Evernote through multiple platforms.
Yeah, so first thing I always tell people to do, too, is download the app to your computer, like your laptop or your desktop, because that's the most important place you're going to want to use it. That's where it has the most functionality. It's the easiest to use and to make your templates and all that. But what I find a lot of people do is they'll sign in on the web browser onto Evernote, but they won't actually download the app onto their desktop. The web browser version still isn't even as good as the one you can have on your desktop, and then you just use your iPad or your iPhone or whatever device you're on to take it mobile with you, but the majority of your work you really want to do on your computer or you're missing out on a lot of what Evernote can do.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. We can get into, well, let's talk about right now. I mean, agents always want to know the cost to this. How would you encourage people to get involved in Evernote? It's probably the same way. It's a really smart business model Evernote has done. Once you see the value in it, then you can step up, like I have over the years. But let people know how they can sort of get involved in Evernote initially just to sort of get their feet wet.
Well, I'll even tell you how I started, because I started with the free model, and I had the free one for well over a year. And so all I was doing it for the first 6 months, because I wasn't really sure how to use it, I was just using it for showings. So just to eliminate all the data sheets that I was driving around, I remember, you know, I'd show up to a showing, we had six that day, I'd have just a pile of paper for every showing, and I always felt it was a waste because, you know, all the homes I didn't want to have further interest in, you end up throwing them out or something like that, you don't want to use it. So I found just way better to put it on Evernote. So for 6 months, I only used it for showings. So if you're just looking to get into Evernote, just kind of baby steps with, you know, maybe I'll just use it for showings. And once I get comfortable doing that, then you can take the next step. Once you get into it, though, and you start realizing maybe you do want the premium version because the offline notebooks is huge and then the more space is good, it's still only $45 for the whole year. So it's not even that expensive, which is a big plus for a lot of agents is not having it be too expensive. So.
Yeah, once you start leveraging it more and using video and photos and all that sort of stuff, so you know that's when you start using a little bit more bandwidth too as well, which is amazing. So you touched on it. It's the way I think I have the biggest impact on my clients, the way that they actually see Evernote being used is during the showings. So let's get into that right away. How are you leveraging Evernote to change the way that home's being showed? That's been that way for 20 years. How were you ever leveraging Evernote to change the showing experience for not only yourself as the agent, but for the consumer?
Well, first thing you want to do is download Evernote Web Clipper onto your browser, because you're going to use that a lot. So when you go into your MLS system, all the showings that I have that day, I'll go into each one and I'll clip the individual selection for each home that I'm showing. I know a lot of people take like a PDF of all the homes they're showing at once. I do it for individually, so I know every home that I'm seeing, and I can pull it up quicker that way. And then the other way is I highlight in, like, you know, when you can highlight in blue on something, I right-click and clip selection instead of saving it as a PDF. That way I can edit it as I go. And so it clips the selection right into a note, and then you go out to a home, I'll give the iPad to the client, or if he doesn't want to, I'll hold it myself. And I type in notes as they're going about everything they want to know about the home, all their feedback, questions they might have for the listing agent. And then, you know, if we're doing second showings, I put that information in there. And it just becomes a huge, huge database of all the information of every home they've ever seen. And then I'll share the entire notebook of showings with them so that if they're ever curious, you know, what home did we see last week, which one was that, I can send it with them. Or if the listing agent wants to know feedback, I could even just share the note directly with them with the feedback from my client on it. So there's a lot of great ways you can do it, but it makes it a lot less paper, always organized, and you always have a record of how many homes did you actually show someone.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you share the showing notes, the properties with your client before, like, that's what you send them, you know, that day? Is that the information they have when they're walking through the property, or then are you giving them a record of the details of the property?
Depends on the client. Some prefer not to have it before. I kind of did it what they're more comfortable with. Because I always sit down for a buyer consultation ahead of time and explain how I do it. If they want it all ahead of time, I give it to them. Some just say, tell me where to show up, and we'll do it from there, and I'll just show up, and I'll have it all there nice and organized for them. I do play it a lot to how they want to handle it. Yeah. But either one you can do. It's just whatever works better for your business.
Yeah, now I was doing paperless showings very, very similar to you, I was downloading the PDFs. Sending the PDF, not downloading, but sending them off to my Evernote, and then I have my PDFs for all the showings. Camp Remax, week one, I'm watching you talk about Evernote, and you're saying web clip the MLS into Evernote, and I went, wow, you know what? And that's the thing about Evernote. I talk to agents all the time because, unlike Instagram, where we all get what it does, there is really no limit to the way you can leverage Evernote. There's really no limit. And so it's really important, I think, to have these conversations with other agents, because I'm sure there's a lot of people watching right now that say, oh, I use it this way, I use it that way, it's great. And so now I'm web clipping the showings into my note, and it really does change the experience. Now, the way I've gone about doing my showings is when I get to the front of the house, I take a photo of the exterior of the property, I write the address on there, and then as I'm walking through the property, I've got Evernote on my iPhone, and my clients have my iPad. I take audio notes about what they liked about the property and what they didn't like about the property, take the notes about what, you know, and then written notes. And then when we're done their showings, when I drop them off at home, I email them what we saw that day. So they have a record of everything they saw, audio notes, photographs, everything, you know, really, really detailed that they can go back and look back on it. Now, will they go back and look back at the properties? Maybe, maybe not. But if you have a buyer that's going out casually looking at the odd home at the beginning to decide what agent they want to work with, sometimes you don't know that they're doing that, and you give them this experience with this much detail with audio notes and photos and write-ups and all this sort of stuff, they won't work with another agent. They are going to work with you because the experience is just so much more enjoyable. And then also, and like you said too as well, Andrew, if I ever was questioned about what properties I showed what client on what day 2 years ago, it's in my Evernote account. I know every detail I've done with no extra effort.
Yeah, no, it's great. Like, so, like, so that's one thing I love is, so I have a full client notebook, all the templates for each client, make them new in there, and I share the entire notebook with my client. And that way they always know what I'm doing, and if it's updated, they can see it. So I encourage them to download Evernote. A few clients I've even had to sit down and give them a tutorial on Evernote. Like half an hour, I'll sit down and show them how it works so they can kind of use it too. And then you'll find a few will start adopting it in their own lives too, which is always fun when you see that. And I've had them start sending me shared notebooks on different things they're doing. And it's really great for that. So showings is huge for it, and it's really nice when they can go back. And then if they have it too, they can even type in their own notes after. Like, okay, maybe I will put an offer on this one, and this one, and then I'll go back. They're like, I updated Evernote, I'll go back and check it out. But it depends on like the tech level of some of the clients you're working with.
Yeah, but it's a great option whether you're using that way or not. One of the ways I'm leveraging it too as well is all the times I sit down and have conversations with my clients. The first thing I do is open up my iPad. No matter where we are, I open up their file. I create a new note saying conversation on this date, and I just take the notes, especially for initial buyer consultations, cell phone numbers and email addresses, and this is what I'm looking for, and I got a template that, you know, these are the questions I've asked. Have you been pre-approved? You know, what are you looking for? What's your price range? Are schools important to you? And I just go through the template. It keeps you on task, keeps you efficient. It wows the client. You don't miss anything. So talk about the value, Andrew, of having templates built for a lot of different ways that you're going to use Evernote so that you're not, you know, reinventing or not redoing those tasks over and over and over again.
Yeah, I have the exact same thing in mind. All templates for buyer consultations of every topic. I want to make sure I'm covered, but I do it for a buyer consultation of every topic that we want to cover. I also have a list of everything they have to do once they leave that consultation, so like all the paperwork they have to get together to get pre-approved, all the different things they have to do. I do the same thing for sellers. I also have, say, for buyers, my to-do list, so have I gone door knocking for them in the area they want, and they can also then see what I've been doing for them as well, and it's a new template every time. I have one for my offers. What do I make sure that I remember to include in every single offer that I do so I never miss anything? And a bunch of different ways like that. And then, or if I, for the same listing side of it, what do I want to make sure is included in every offer that's coming in? What's most important to my clients? Because, you know, if you have a bunch of listings at a time, sometimes you might slip one thing with a client you don't want to forget. That way it's always in writing, it's always there. And even if they have access to notebooks, they can change it too. But so I keep like a master template in like a separate notebook of all it's a notebook stack. So I have buyer templates, general templates, and seller templates. And then I'll copy them into the individual notebooks for all my clients. And it's huge. Like, and then another great one to do is all the in special clauses that you've come across, because I don't know about you. Like if I see another agent submit an offer on one of mine and I like some of the clauses that he has, it's different than the standard, I'm going to take those and put them into my Evernote. So now when I'm writing an offer down the road, I can pull that in and put it in. So I just have a ton of different templates for all the different reasons like that.
We have a template of all of our clauses, and I store the odd empty form. Now we're completely integrated here in Canada with web forms to write offers, but if you're an agent in Canada the last week and a half, you know that web forms was down for like a day and a half, and there's multiple offers out there. Where I've got all that stuff online, I can just cut and paste that into PDF Expert or wherever I want, and I've got all that information with you, no matter where you are. And once again, we're talking about the ability to be mobile. I really like the fact that you're sort of almost organized by default. If you send stuff off to Evernote, all of our contracts we use a Realty Nuance. There's DocuSign Transaction Room. There's Dotloop. That's where we would keep all of our contracts. But everything else, if it's not in Realty Nuance for us, it's in Evernote. It's just in one of those two places. I don't have to worry about it. And the search functionality, especially in the premium version, is unbelievable. If you're wearing a t-shirt that says Hawaii on it in the premium version and you type in Hawaii, it recognizes Hawaii and it pulls up anything. So if you're clipping anything out there or setting stuff in, the search functionality is almost for people that aren't great organizers. It almost organizes you by default.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely incredible. One example I like to show when I do my classes is how it can read the handwriting on handwritten notes you've made, and that's great. So, I mean, it won't read my handwriting, but that's just more because I have terrible handwriting. So yeah. The picture I have is actually Valerie Garcia's handwriting from a course she went to. So I took a picture of her notes, and then I'll type in, I just know some of the words that are in it because I've taught it a bunch of times now. I'll just type in a word, and it pulls up a note and highlights the words, and then I'll just have them read out another word on the page. Type that in, and it just jumps down to that, and that always blows people's mind when it can read the handwriting, because I'm like, all those notes you've made in the past, you don't have to worry about, oh, now I'm going to have to transcribe them all. Just take a picture and put them in, and you're good to go. Like, just upload everything very quickly. You don't have to worry about retyping things and things like that.
Yeah, on a slightly different note about just being organized by default, I send all my receipts into Evernote. So yeah. If I get emailed a receipt, I buy something online, and we'll talk about how you can email stuff into Evernote, because I think it's a function that a lot of people, you know, don't understand that's available. That's a really great way of getting stuff in there. I send all my receipts out there, and if I take, you know, my gas bill, I just take a photo of it on my iPhone, and all my receipts are organized. I know there's some great receipt applications out there, but I like to have everything in one place, and that is Evernote. Melanie Gallia wanted to go and buy a fly cam. And I have a fly cam, and I researched them quite a bit. She says, which one do you have? And I'm like, oh, I can't remember the name of it. And 2 days later, I was like, of course, I got the receipt. I could just put in FlyCam. It popped up. I sent her the information. But that's the thing about having everything in one thing. So, Andrew, touch on the real value of when you get correspondence on a certain file for a certain client that's in your inbox, email inbox, that you want to now make part of your file. Talk about the way that you can get that off into your file so that all that stuff is organized so that you can view it later on.
Yeah, the easiest way is the Evernote email address. If someone doesn't know how to do it, you generally just go into Tools and then Account Info. Your email address is there. Save it into your contact info as Evernote Upload or something like that, and it sends it right into the notebook. What I really like, though, is how you can edit the subject line to change it all. So if you put at and the name of the notebook, it sends it right into the notebook. You can also add tags. So if you put hashtag and then whatever tag you want, it'll put it in there. If you put an exclamation point and a date, it'll actually set a reminder. So if you get an email and you're like, oh, I should look at this in 2 days, you put, you know, exclamation point the 2 days from now, and then it pops up again in 2 days for you. Like, there's, it's just limitless the different things you can do with it, and it just keeps everything so organized for you, and it's so much easier, and you keep inbox zero, which is always my goal.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to go over that point, because I think it's really, you get an email into your inbox, your regular email inbox, and it happens to do with the Johnson file, and you want to store that. You forward it on to your private Evernote account email address, which is, you can find it, it's just garbly-goop. No one's ever, you're not going to remember it. You just put it into your contacts as Evernote. You type in to Evernote into your to thing, it pops up your email address, and then the subject line, at the end of the subject line, you write at Johnson, the name of your client, and it automatically files it for you. You don't have to ever go and make sure it was put away. It's there for you, and whether you go back or not, your information, your correspondence is there, and we know how many times correspondence with other agents or with other clients is so important to keep track of, but that just does it instantly, and it's off, and you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. One question I get a lot is, what happens if you misspell the note name when you're putting it on? Because I guess people do that, you know, you have a full name of someone, you might have typed it in wrong. All it does is it goes into your default user book, and normally your notebook is your username. It just says your username's notebook. Anything that gets, you know, they're not sure where it goes in because you've typed it wrong or something like that, everything goes in there. So, like, once a week I go into my default notebook, check what's there, and then file it accordingly. So if you're ever worried about something being missing, you just throw it, go check out your default notebook, and everything's there that you know, you might have been missing before.
Now, when you're talking with agents and you're teaching Evernote 101, Andrew, what are the odd couple topics that you talk about that you kind of get a from the audience over and over again? What is that feature, or those couple features that really, as agents in their day to day in the trenches work, that sort of gets them, okay, if it can do that, then I'm getting more curious about this platform.
Yeah, the biggest one is the checklist and systems that we mentioned, and then I also do the same for when I'm going up meeting with clients and always commission comes up, right? Most conversations end up there. I got this idea from my old broker of record, Barb Brindle, who was great. She showed me this method, and you basically make a seller menu. So for sellers, I have a mention of my three different plans for commission rates, and then I have a checklist of what's included in each plan. And that way, when you're at the negotiating table, instead of negotiating down your rate, you're just like, well, maybe I'll include something from one of the higher plans into this. And you can just check off which one's included in each different person's thing. And when you see the checklist, it's huge. And you can put it out, and people are really impressed with that, and they love it. And then the other one is a home buying wish list. This one, I actually got it from Matt Emerson, who's a great agent down in the beaches in Toronto. And it's like a huge, like, if it was on, you print it out, it'd probably be 2 or 3 pages long. And it perfectly describes exactly the type of home your client wants. Like, it's like, how often do you like to entertain? It has like a little bar across, you know, a little, not too often, all the time. People are staying over, right? And it just completely describes everything they'd want in lifestyle and home. Because really now it's about selling the lifestyle just as much as the home for the area you're doing it. And so when you can get that perfectly described one, like, I just sent out a referral about a week ago for a client, an old client of mine, because I parked my license when I took this job. I sent that wish list to that agent. His first response was, all right, I'm going to get a hold of him right away. It was, oh my God, when are you doing your next Evernote training? That was awesome. When can I see that? So it's just one of those things that you don't realize the things it can do until you've seen someone else who's done it, which is huge. The other great one is with, like we mentioned, receipts, is not just doing that, it's tag them like this one's tax deductible, and then share the entire notebook with, if you have an accountant, share the entire notebook with the accountant, and they'll love you a lot more. They don't have to go searching through like a shoebox full of receipts. They just see, oh, this is tagged as tax deductible. This is great. Everything he has is here.
That's a great point. And you do have the ability to set like checklists. Like there's the radio boxes, you know, and there's also the check boxes, and you can, you know, put reminders out there. You can set alarms for things to do. So if you are working on a team or with other people, you can set tasks, and you, it almost becomes Google Drive-ish as far as being able to collaborate on the same document in a lot of different ways. Once again, endless opportunities for real estate agents. I mean, the fact that you just said that checklist of the wish list. Now, let me ask you, selfishly, I'm curious, I want to know, that wish list, are you handing the iPad over to the client and they're going through it? Do they go home and you share the list to them and they go through it later on? Are you asking the questions out loud when you're meeting with them? How do you have that wish list go through? Because that's a very, very impressive way to deal with buyers.
So when I'm doing my buyer consultation, it's paperless. So I have my laptop out and my iPad, which kind of can get overload for some people when you see all the tech that's out there. But so I'll be working on my iPad. That's where I'll put in a lot of the notes, and I'll have the iPad for them. But what I found is when you're doing the checklist and they're trying to check off boxes, a lot of people, they find it hard because you almost got to hit right in the bottom right corner of the checklist to check it. So do you guys have FinTrack in BC?
Yes.
Yeah, so you know, but maybe for the agents in the States who don't, FinTrack is this thing we have to fill out for terrorists and money laundering. You have to fill in all, you take their ID, you fill it out. It's probably completely useless. I don't think they've ever found anyone from it. But so when I'm filling that out, I hand them my computer and let them go through it then. So I'm taking this, you know, couple minutes to fill in all their information on there. And so instead of them just sitting there and watching me fill it out, they're going through their wish list and doing it right there on the spot for me.
And then you get information. And one of the things I've really found a lot useful is when I sit down with the buyer consultation or the seller's consultation, I ask them, you know, why are they buying? Why are they selling? What's the purpose of their move? And I take really, really good notes about that, because when you get into the emotion of negotiating a contract, when you actually get in the back and forth, going back, and becomes extremely emotional, it's very nice to go back and remind the buyer and seller that when they were thinking calmly 2 months prior when you first met them about what they were actually trying to accomplish. Like, what's the purpose? The purpose is to get their kids into a certain school before the school season starts, whatever it is. And when we get down to negotiating, you know, there's $500 left and, you know, whatever it is. I find it very, very useful to just calmly go back through those notes and say, remember, guys, this is why we're doing this. This is what we're trying to accomplish. And I think it's a very, very powerful way, because they know that you took the notes. They were there.
You should actually just have, can I record you for a second, and have them record telling you why, and then you can let them tell themselves 3 months later why. Hear it in their own voice.
That's right. Tell your future self why you want to sell you're buying a home. Good
point.
You're
going crazy later.
Yeah. And on that note, I use a slightly different program to do my pre-listing walkthroughs. I use a program called Notes Plus. And everyone always asks me, well, why don't you just use Evernote? And it's a good point. You could definitely use Evernote. I find when you're able to walk around and you're able to write, it's great. And you can't record and take pictures, unless it's changed in Evernote because I haven't gone back, at the same time, right?
Yeah, so my kind of workaround of that is have your phone and your iPad out. You take pictures with one and do it with the other. But, yeah, my handwriting's so bad. I was on Notes Plus for a bit, and my handwriting's so bad, plus you add in digital handwriting's a little worse than regular handwriting. I'd never be able to read it if I tried, and I couldn't get those notes quick enough. So the odd time that the seller wouldn't let me actually record them, because some people don't want to be recorded, which I completely understand, then I would just type them out, and I can generally type quick enough with one hand. I'm, you know, the texting generation. That's what we do. I just, you know, type with one hand. I can get most of the notes in that way. And then if I need pictures, I'll do it with my phone and then just merge the notes later.
Yeah, and just to explain people about how we're leveraging that, and Andrew, you can maybe say if it's a different way of how you leverage it. But what we do is our team does a two-process CMA consultation. We do a walk through the property, 10, 15 minutes. We do our homework. We come back, and then we sit down with the client, do our listing presentation and CMA and all that sort of stuff. So when I get to the walkthrough, I simply say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, we're going to do a walkthrough. Is it okay that I record our walkthrough? I don't want to miss anything, right? So we're able to record the audio notes, and as I go through the property, I'll take pictures of anything that's going to be an asset to the value or detract from the value of the property, and I'm taking notes. And if they're interviewing more than one agent, once again, to do it, and you're taking audio notes, you're taking handwritten notes, you're taking photographs, it's so impressive that you don't want to miss any single detail of it. And then, once again, when you do get the listing, and you're trying to remember when was the, you know, how old is the hot water heater, you can go back and or the water heater, you can go back and read your notes and, okay, it was put in 2009 and the hardwood is 3/4 inch and not 1/2 inch hardwood. I mean, those notes are there for you so that you just don't miss anything. And once again, the paperless showing, Andrew, and doing it that way, you're not actually adding any more effort or time to these processes. Paperless showing is probably more efficient, not less efficient.
You don't have to worry about printing things out or running out of ink or anything like that. No matter what, as all you need is to have your iPad with battery, which is pretty easy. When you go to bed at night, plug it in, and no matter what, you're good. The only issue is if you have a free account and you can't see them offline. Like when I was doing the free one, I'd preload them up on my screen, but sometimes, you know, the offline doesn't work, so I just hotspot my phone, but say you're somewhere without Wi-Fi, that's the only time you'd probably want to make sure you have the premium, is so that you never lose access offline.
Yeah, and that was actually, no, Melanie did write that please tell people it's worth getting the iPad with cell phone reception. Depends where you are. I've always ever had Wi-Fi. I only ever tethered to my
phone.
I
don't actually.
That's been great for me, but having the premium account for $45 where it all pulls it offline, and uploads it next time you get to a cell phone signal or to a Wi-Fi, you know, that's the way I've used it. So you can go sort of either.
I always just hotspotted my phone because I never got Wi-Fi on my iPad. I just hotspotted my phone into that way because I had a huge data plan on my phone, which I never came close to filling up. So I always figured, well, why pay for an extra data plan on my iPad when I can just use the one from my phone? So
yeah, absolutely. I've used it. So one of the great advantages of, and there is a workaround on your iPad and your iPhone for web clipping. But talk about the advantage of web clipping. Like when you're out there and you're surfing online, and let's say you're doing videos or you're a blogger or anything like that, and you come across something that you want to capture later on. The web clipping is such an amazing, incredible tool to put into a video ideas folder or a blogging ideas folder. So talk about the value of being able to web clip. We talked about it a little bit on paperless showings, but just talk about web clipping.
Yeah, so the web clipping is actually probably my favorite tool that's actually on Evernote when I'm on my computer. It's huge. Like even just little things, like you're reading articles all the time. Like I read a lot of Inman News articles that come in, and I want to save them for later, especially in the new job now where I have to build a lot of courses. If I see a good idea in there, I'll just web clip the entire article right off the web page and put it into my folder entitled Course Research. And that's where I have everything there. So anything you ever find online, you can clip right off there and direct it into which notebook to go. You can even mark it up with graphics if you want to highlight certain things for whatever reason. And just all the notes you have, everything you've ever done, anything online you've ever seen, or even it's just bookmarks. Because I know sometimes, you know, your computer crashes, you lose all the bookmarks you had, you might get a little nervous. Well, create a notebook of all your bookmarks because it'll just save the bookmark for you, and that way it's always there no matter what computer you're on. Because ultimately, I find the goal for me when I'm working in the cloud is that I want my computer just to be a portal to what I do. So if this computer I'm on breaks right now, I just go pick up another one, plop it down, and I don't miss a beat. Like, because I found, I remember one time in university, I spilled a drink on my laptop and I lost a 25-page paper. I was brutal. I didn't have it saved to the cloud yet or anything like that. I was just saved to my desktop, and obviously I couldn't get on the computer anymore. So since then, I've been looking for those solutions of, well, how can that never happen again? And that's where Evernote's awesome, is no matter where you are, you just log right in and it's back for you.
Yeah, and especially when you're on the go. I mean, the nice thing I've talked about is, you know, I've got two young kids. Whatever my clients need, whether it's a contract or it's an email from a year ago, 2 years ago, it's accessible from my phone. I mean, everything I have is from my phone, and then you can sort of go about doing your business and be mobile, which is brilliant. I love the web clipper, and you can also clip the URL or you can clip the content. The problem with the URL, sometimes the URL remains the same, but the content changes on that particular web page. You can actually clip the content, and then all that content, all of it becomes searchable. So like you say, you're doing a course on social media or on Facebook, you could type in Facebook underneath that particular folder of you know, ideas to train on, and it'll pull up everything you've ever clipped about Facebook, and then you're off and running. It's amazing.
I have more stuff than I could ever even present if I tried, because I clip everything. Like, I'm one of those guys, just I love consuming as much information as I can wherever I can, so I keep reading it. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a great one for later, great one for later. I'm like, I have way too much to ever, I couldn't teach this in 3 straight years of teaching if I tried.
Yeah.
So.
One of the great ways to use Evernote, especially when you're sharing it with clients, I find is to have the note very interactive through links. So you're able to create, you know, they want to move to Walnut Grove, and you could easily do this in a template where you could send them off an Evernote note that says, you know, here's all the schools, Here's where they are on a map. Here's a link to all the websites of those schools. Here's a link to an interactive map. Here's a link to, you know, a Dropbox form to enroll your kid in school. I mean, you can have anything. The form can just really be very interactive because it is an online document. Everything can be hyperlinked out of there, so you can go and curate a lot of great content, throw it into a form, and it links out. One of the things you were talking about on Camp Remax was, you know, maybe if you're not using the dot loops or the Realty Nuances or the DocuSign transaction rooms, to have for your clients links to their documents that are actually kept in Dropbox.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually thought about doing this when I was building my course, because like we were mentioning, every time you do an Evernote, you find something new to do on it. So because you can hyperlink, I would store all the big documents in Dropbox where you have more room, and then I would just hyperlink to each one, and it keeps it very organized. So for instance, like I had a mortgage guy call me one time saying, hey, I lost the paperwork for your client. I don't know where it is. Can you send it to me again? And I wasn't anywhere near my office. I just pulled up my table of contents note, and it had a link to every single piece of paperwork involved in the entire transaction. Just send it out. And then same with buyers. Like I had one that I had, and it was just every single piece of paperwork you need to get together, and I asked them to send it to me for their pre-approval. And then I hyperlink it to that. So if they ever need to get a copy of it because they aren't sure where they are, or if they're out and they want to do it quickly, they can just send it off really fast, and it's amazing for that. Like, just it's so nice having everything ever very accessible and hyperlinked between each other. So the Dropbox and Evernote, they work very seamlessly if you can do it that way.
Absolutely. I just want to make a note. Thanks, Katie Lance. She'll know what that means. Andrew, what has been? There's a lot of these win-win-win situations out there in real estate, more now with technology than ever before. I mean, the fact that you can save time, be more efficient, be more mobile, and create a better customer experience. It's an amazing thing that we're able to do now. What is the reaction when you were out selling and dealing with the buyers and sellers, opposed to your role now with agents? What was the reaction when you do things like this? I mean, because the last time they bought and sold potentially was 5-6 years ago, where not only did their agent not do it then, and their agent likely isn't doing it now, but it didn't exist. This experience didn't exist the last time they bought and sold. So talk about the buyer experience and your value proposition when you treat your clients this way.
They love it. I'd say 95% of people love it. You get the odd person who's just like, no, everything has to be on paper, but that's all right. Some people just aren't going to change their ways. But yeah, for people who actually have never experienced before and they embrace it so much, and it's always a huge compliment when they're like, can you teach me how to use this? Because I want to start integrating this into my life. Can you come, you know, talk to me? I'm in sales too, but in a different industry. Can you come show me how to do this so I can use it in my own business? That's huge. And they start asking you to show them things outside of real estate because they just love, they think you're an expert on it. It's huge, and they love it so much, and it's just so convenient. Everything's so fast. Like, I had a joke one time with a client of mine who asked me to send him the paperwork, and I emailed it to him, and then I get a message like an hour later, only an hour, and he's just like, I thought you're supposed to be some big techie agent. You know, I asked you for this stuff an hour ago. Why isn't it here yet? I go, check your inbox. It ended up in his spam because he had just changed his spam filter, and it was 2 minutes after he sent the request. And I was like, see, I'm way quicker than you there, bud.
Exactly. And the thing for you as the agent, the fact that you got that task off your plate during the time that it was fresh in your mind, not only are you improving the experience for your client, but then you can get back to focusing on whatever the task you're doing right now, because, you know, our days as agents are so crazy fluid that the ability to wow the client but also to have it done is a huge, huge advantage for us, for sure. That's a huge thing.
It integrates across so many. Like, the other nice one to do is have you ever used If This Then That?
All the time.
Yeah, I love creating menus where it just sends things into Evernote for me. It's such a great tool. If anyone out there hasn't used it, it can
create like a recipe. Okay, well, touch on it, because that's the exact same way I use it. In fact, well, let's go ahead and talk about If This Then That and how you can leverage that platform in conjunction with Evernote, because I think that's a great time saver and it saves a lot of redundant tasks.
Yeah, so basically what it does is, it sounds exactly what it is, if this then that. So if this happens, then this will happen. So for instance, I have one on my Gmail where anytime I favorite an email in my Gmail, it automatically sends it to my Evernote. And I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is hit the little star on my Gmail inbox, and it makes a new Evernote note for me. Same with on Twitter, anytime I favorite a tweet, it sends it into an Evernote notebook for me. It's just a very great way, and there's thousands of what they call recipes on there of ways you can integrate this. And it's not just with Evernote. It works across so many different platforms. It's a really great tool to integrate with it, and it saves you so much time of, I don't now have to go physically save this to Evernote. All I do is my regular process of working, and it automatically sends it there for me to search a lot quicker.
Yeah, and it's really an endless amount of, like you say, they're called recipes, and you can create your own recipes, but basically it's just a trigger for those redundant things, so when certain things happen, you can send it off. Like you say, when you star, I have the exact same one. When I star a Gmail email, it goes off. Then I know that's saved. I have one where, you know, every single time I upload a photo on Instagram, it saves it, because it's hard to get the photo off of Instagram. It yeah. sends it out there. And there's endless ways, and it's really well integrated into Evernote, and it's a really, really powerful tool. One of the tools I like a lot, that when I first saw it, and everyone was raving about it a couple years ago when I started first using it, that I was like, I don't know how the value is here, that I don't know how it would function without Sketch, which is an Evernote platform, which now is built right into Evernote under, it's just called Evernote Annotation yeah. now. But talk about the ways that you're using Sketch or annotations now in your role, or if you're using it with buyers and sellers too as well.
Yeah, so I use it for a lot of different ways. Like a good example, the first example I always give people when I am showing it in my classes is, in my clauses when I'm doing a home inspection, I write, you're allowing us to take pictures of the home during a home inspection. Is I'll take pictures and I can highlight the defects on the actual picture itself, and that way if I'm ever talking with the listing agent about trying to get something repaired or getting a price reduction or something like that, I'll even send them the note and highlight where all the defects are. Or if my client, you know, he knows he has to fix some things when he moves in, I can just send him the note with a picture of everything he has to fix in his home and a little note, you know, with the writing on it, and you can do that all from within Evernote, which is awesome. Or I also have a blank template of offers. This is another example I often show. And I put the little sign here buttons that they have. And that way, every time I can't make it to meet a client to sign something, I'll send them the offer, and then I'll send them a blank one with the instructions of exactly where he has to sign on it. And that way, he never misses. Because I don't know if it's ever happened to you where you've sent it to a client who you couldn't meet up with, and he's missed an initial or a signature somewhere, and you have to go back and get him to do it again. Well, this way, I've highlighted exactly where every single one has to be. And it saves you so much time. Like, yeah, at the beginning it takes you an extra 30 seconds to add that extra note, but it saves you that back and forth later on, and the clients love it because they're like, oh, I'm sure I didn't miss anything. I just followed Andrew's instructions. I'm good to go.
And I can see how that'd be valuable. DocuSign makes you, it's impossible to miss a signature or an initial because it won't come back unless they do it properly. So it's amazing. Yes. We just got a question on Twitter from Katie Lance. Do you use Evernote Hello? Great point. I love Evernote Hello. Now, they've just purchased out another, forget the other card company that they
Card
bought
Munch
out.
Some sort LinkedIn. Of,
was it?
It was Card Munch by LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah, Card Munch. Yeah. So talk about, especially people that are going to come back from the R4s and the Remax Kickstarts, talk about how amazing, and I'll talk about it too as well, because I love the trigger that got me to buy the premium version of Evernote was I'd reached my Evernote Hello card reading limit of 250 cards or whatever it was, and I quickly got online and I bought the premium version of Evernote because I absolutely adore that program. So go ahead and talk about what Evernote Hello is.
So I'm the same as you. I don't actually use Evernote Hello because I bought the premium version partly for that reason. Yeah. And basically Evernote Hello, it's a card business card reader. And what it does is it'll take the business card, you take a picture, it takes all the information out, sorts all their contact information into a card. If you're connected with LinkedIn, it pulls their LinkedIn information, will ask you to connect with them, brings their picture down. You can add in notes about where you met them. It'll actually default how it knows locations, will tell you where you met them. And then it puts all, you can default notebooks. So every time I take a picture of a business card, I've set it to default, go into my business card notebook. What else is nice, it then asks you, do you want to save this into your contact book? And then it also asks you, do you want us to send them a copy of your contact card? And that's another huge feature is, now that I don't have to give out my card, you know, what if you forget your card or you just, you know, you're paperless, you don't want to have cards. You can then just send them your contact information and they get it right away too, right into their phone. They don't have to worry about uploading it if they don't have this app on their own. It's huge for networking. I don't like keeping cards because I always used to lose them. So quick picture, settled.
Absolutely, and now I'm glad that this came up because I'm jokingly legally obligated to mention BombBomb every episode. But one of the things I do when I'm at these events, they have a great conversation. I grab my phone, I Evernote hello them, and one of the notes I say is BombBomb. I type in, you know, hashtag BombBomb, and then I just write what was meaningful about that conversation. That when I do send them a BombBomb video, it's really genuine, and I recall what we talked about, whether it was, you know, something very, very personal, so that after the event, and there are those special people that you meet at events, you know, the 20 or 30 versus the 300 that you want to have a different type of relationship for, I'll fire off a BombBomb video because I can search them in Evernote later on with a tag through Evernote Hello about what we talked about, and it's amazing. It'll pull in their photo from LinkedIn and their details and all that sort of stuff. It's really, there's no end to some of the tools that you can use. So that's fantastic. Now, I really encourage everyone watching this show now and in the future, I'm sure there is a really great way that you leverage Evernote and use it differently. If you send me an email or write a comment underneath this video on mobileagenttv.com or on YouTube, I'll continue to pull those notes over the next 6 months or how many, because people find the show all the time, and we'll continue to put the ideas down underneath this show link, because I know there are amazing way agents that are leveraging Evernote that I have never even dreamed about thinking about. So I think we can all learn from each other. But that being said, in these classes, Andrew, when you're out teaching one-on-one and you're talking with other agents, what are now some of, instead of the basic ways, are there a couple of really creative ways? I mean, that one list about finding your ideal home is amazing. What are some of the real creative ways that you've heard people leveraging Evernote that you didn't think about when you were using it?
My favorite one I actually got from Thomas Cook, who's an agent in Toronto. He's a huge Evernote user. It's because condos are obviously big in Toronto, is having a profile of every single condo. And that includes all the bylaws in it, but then he also includes all the floor plans of every unit. So anytime you're talking to someone, you can just be like, what floor plan are you using? Or what floor plan's in your home? And then they can show it and you start showing. It works same with neighborhoods too. Like if you're working in a neighborhood with a bunch of homes, you can now have a floor plan uploaded at your fingertips anytime. So if you walk into someone's home, or if you, you know, you meet someone at a grocery store, they're like, oh, I have this model. And you can pull up the floor plan from their neighborhood and be like, well, are you the A elevation, B elevation, C elevation? And then you can tick it off, send it into their notebook. And that way it's so quick just to find out all that information. It's just having everything at your, like, the tip of your fingers. Or do you use Remax One Sheets? They're relatively new.
No, I don't. Canada only. What's that?
So if you go onto Lead Street, and then at the bottom it has One Sheets. Again, this is only in Canada right now. It does a neighborhood profile of different neighborhoods, and it'll tell you how many people rent versus own, and the demographics, how many people are married, what's the average age, average income, all this different information, and I'll pull one of those sheets, put it into my Evernote under the name of each neighborhood, so anytime I'm showing a home to a buyer, I can pull it up and be like, this is the type of people who live in this neighborhood, is that something that works for you, like, are you going to be comfortable here, because I know there's some clients who, they don't want to live in somewhere with, you know, 50% renters, so I can pull it up really quick and be like, okay, well, this, you know, this area, it's, you know, 90% of people own their home, so you're probably going to be okay there. So it's just, they're really great tools that I saved right into my Evernote so I can pull them up anytime.
See, and this is why Dave and I do this show, to get nuggets like that. That's brilliant. So yeah, that's a fantastic way to leverage it. Now is that an ongoingly changing URL, so the content, the information is always being updated, or is it a static page?
You create a PDF of it, so it's what's up to date right now, and the company that we have that does it updates every month new neighborhoods. They don't actually have every neighborhood in Canada yet. They're adding more every month, so if yours is not there yet, it'll be eventually. It's just
I'm sure they started in Toronto, right? And they've moved.
Yeah,
moving.
Toronto's pretty good. When we've done some trainings outside of Toronto, like we did one in Collingwood, and they didn't have any there.
Surprise, it started in Toronto. For everyone
everywhere
else,
we go, everyone's like, oh, sure,
everyone else in Canada is bitter about how much attention Toronto gets. So
we are the center of the universe, especially in hockey.
It is the center of the universe. Any other really creative ways, Andrew, that you can think about people using Evernote? Because that's a great example.
Yeah, I keep a lot of like notable sales for areas. So if I want to remember this host sold for a lot of money, I'll keep a little profile on there. And that way, if you're ever talking to someone and they want to know, you have all the notables of certain areas very quickly. And because it's text-based, it doesn't take up a lot of space on your drive. I'll pull up my notebooks here, and I can tell you if there's any other really interesting ones. Because I have so many notebooks that I keep forgetting all the ones that are there.
Yeah, and just, I mean, if people want to know why I'm always looking down during the show, I mean, yeah. I keep all my show notes on Evernote. I've got all the details for them. I type it up on my iPad or my phone when I think of a question that I want to ask for the next week's show, and then I just open them up and they're there. I mean, that's just a simple way I'm using
it. I got my Evernote notes of what to talk about right here.
There you go.
Yeah, so like, so I was actually interviewing an agent who's very old school. Like, when I asked her what her Wi-Fi password was, she didn't know what I meant. And I was like, your internet password. So she was very non-techie, and she used to say that every time she gets a lead, she gets a new manila folder out, she puts their information on it, and then, you know, after a couple weeks, if it's been, you know, one of those absolutely dead leads, she'll then just throw a folder. I was like, well, that's a complete waste. Let me show you how to do it on Evernote. Like, at least this way you can just delete it on there or always have it in case you want to, you know, 6 months down the road try to recycle a dead lead. But, like, there's just so many different ways that people were doing it before. You can just save so much time and money because you don't have to buy all these manila folders anymore.
And that, what happens if there's a flood or a fire, and you were to lose, like, what would you do if that was your database? I you know, like you said, your computer used to have so much value in 1998 and 2004 before the really advent of the cloud. If I lost my computer today, I would be bummed because there'd be a couple of videos that we've been editing or been working on that I would lose. But all my real information, username, password, I'd be back at it later on today.
Yeah. Like, I cracked my phone a little while. I fell out of my pocket when I was out with my wife, and it shattered the screen. And I was like, oh, well, that's not going to be convenient at all. Well, I just took out the SIM card, put it into an old one, and within half an hour, I hadn't missed a beat. Like, everything was there. I mean, my phone's a little slower because it's the older version, but yeah, now I'm just waiting for the iPhone 6 to come out.
Exactly. Anything else you want to sort of touch on about Evernote before we just wrap up the show here, Andrew? I think this is a great discussion, and what I like about Evernote, I think the discussion really has just begun because I'm learning. I learned three new great ways of doing it, you know, today, and we'll constantly be learning. So I think it's a great discussion to have, maybe perhaps on an ongoing basis. But anything else that you think is really important that we should be mentioning?
The biggest thing is just you got to jump into it with both feet. I mean, I know when I was doing it those first 6 months, I was only using it for showings. I was only really touching the surface. But when I finally decided, you know what, everything's going into Evernote, it changed everything. I became way more organized. And before, I wasn't even an organized person. Now when people started meeting me, they're like, you're the most organized person I've ever met. It's not really me. It's Evernote's way more organized than I am, and I'm just good at using it. But you can still be so organized, have everything available. So just you got to commit to jumping in with both feet and really using it, or it's not going to be as good as it could be.
I completely agree, because if the thought is there's a 40% chance that what you're looking for is in Evernote, it doesn't work. You can't kind of half do it. I think initially you've sort of got to get in there and get comfortable with it. But I know that if it's not in our document management system, it's in Evernote. That's it. And the peace of mind that it gives you that information is either there or there is nice. So I do agree. You have to commit to it. You have to jump in, and that's where the real value in Evernote is. So. Fantastic. Andrew, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show and giving us an hour of your time.
Lots of takeaways.
There's going to be great chatter about this afterwards. This is going to be a very, 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 very valuable episode for everyone. How do people get a hold of you if they have a question for you? If you're on Ontario Atlantic, how do they get a hold of you to find out when the next time you're coming by their office to do the training on Evernote and all the other great training you guys do up there on Ontario Atlantic?
The easiest way is either on Twitter, which is just my handle is at Andrew Foliato, and remember there's a G in there. And then the other one is my Facebook account. You can just search for my name, or I believe it's facebook.com/remax.foliato, I think it is. Or just search my name and I'll come up. Just add me on there, and I share a lot of articles, or you can just send me a message and ask me questions about it, and we'll figure it out.
Okay, and 4 more weeks of Camp Remax. Go ahead and give it a plug. I think it's an amazing thing. People can still get involved in it. I would imagine there's still room. Just give a quick little plug for the last 4 weeks of Camp Remax.
Yeah, so we got 4 weeks left. Camp Remax is a series of 20-minute webinars every Thursday at 11 a.m. That's Eastern time. It's a great, different topics all the time. The first week we did, you know, top 5 apps are going paperless. We've talked about networking, how to streamline your social media. And there's a few more coming up, like I'm doing one on paid social ads, the benefits of how to use them. There'll be one on video, and then Kieran will be doing a few others. Kieran's my counterpart here. We also do a lot of training together. But it's a great thing. We can get some Hitchhikers of the Week. I wish Dave was here because we've talked about how he won Hitchhiker of the Week. He was great. Really did well.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Yeah, I really encourage everyone. So for people in Ontario Atlantic, you can go to bestagent.ca.
Yep.
And if you're outside Ontario Atlantic, you can go to facebook.com/campremax to sign up. Is that right?
Yep. That's sweet. Right where to go. And you can see recordings of the old ones as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, we are putting the final touches on next week's show. I can't officially announce the guests yet, but we have some ridiculously amazing guests in the pipeline. So we will return. Dave will come back for us. He's at, like I said, Christmas in July with family right now. We'll return August the 1st at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock Eastern. And you can see all of our past episodes on mobileagenttv.com as well as all of our audio podcasts. It's amazing. I had a conversation with Remax LLC last week, and they were talking about the viewership that we have. It's amazing how many people are listening to the show in the audio podcast version, so they sort of can take it with them, which is fantastic. You can find us on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. If you have any referrals heading out to the East Coast of the United States, get a hold of Dave Faulkner, my co-host. He'll get you in the hands of the right Remax agent. If you have any referrals heading out to the West Coast of Canada, get a hold of me, and I'll get you in the hands of the right Remax agent. And as Melanie Galley of Remax Fort McMurray wants to end every single show, please tell 5 other Remax agents about Mobile Agent TV. We grow each week. This is super fun to do. We can reach out to people like Andrew. They'll give us an hour of his time and make us all smarter when it comes to Evernote. So I appreciate you guys always passing the word. Our audience, thank you for being so supportive. I really, really, really appreciate it. Andrew, thank you so much for an hour of your time. Awesome. I love what you guys are doing on Ontario Atlantic. I will be sure to see you in January for Kickstart. And once again, thank you, Andrew. Thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you next week.